Good morning and welcome to episode 227 of Taking Charge Podcast. With you from Regensburg, Germany, I'm David Hein of Hein News. Thank you for stopping by. I'm in a good mood today. I'm usually in a good mood, but I'm in a good mood today. Back home. Of course, last week's show was recorded between Adidas Next Generation tournaments. This show is a couple days after the Adidas Next Generation tournament in Kaunas, which we will kind of talk about sort of in depth with the first time guest on the show this week, Mike Schmitz, from one of the scouts with scouts video analysts with Draft Express. Of course, Jonathan Giovanni has been on the show from Draft Express a few times. So decided to talk to Mike Schmitz. He was at both of the first two stops on the Adidas Next Generation Tournament Tour. Hung out with him quite a bit more in Kaunas. So I had him on the show this week. I'm having him on the show this week, and we'll get to that in a little bit. First of all, if you want to get in contact with the show, easiest way is on Twitter. I'm at Hein News, HEINNEWS. The email address is heinnews@gmx.de. The website is heinnews.com. There is the Facebook group, which if you go into the search bar, put in Taking the Charge Podcast, you'll get in there. You can support the show by going to patreon.com/takingthecharge, all one word, Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, patreon.com/takingthecharge. And you can pledge a donation to the show, a monthly donation to help keep the show rolling. And then, of course, you can also go to iTunes and rate and review the show. I guess that's it. So, before we get to Mike and the interview of the week, I'm going to be doing some African football the next 3 weeks. The Africa Cup of Nations started on, I guess, when did it start? I guess it started on Saturday, and it's going on in Gabon. So I'm writing about Gabon soccer, football, and Ghana, and Ivory Coast, and other great nations like that, Egypt, Uganda, etc., for the next 3 weeks. So not exactly sure how much basketball I will be checking out, but we'll see. I guess the easiest way is to follow me on Twitter. For those who don't follow me on Twitter, like in the Facebook group, I'm trying. I'm trying to get my stuff on there, but if you go to heinnews.com, for those who might be in the Facebook group, if you go to heinnews.com, in the bar on the right, there is the Twitter feed, so you can go and see the links to the things I'm writing. But I try to do my best in getting the stuff over there. Just sometimes a bunch of stuff's going on and just don't end up doing it. So I started the African football this week on Monday and Tuesday. Today's Wednesday and keep going. I go every day until a week from today. So another every day until then, and then take, 2 days off, 2 days off, and then have and then those are the knockout stages then. So I'm going to be looking for some basketball. Actually, Sunday, I'm going to probably head down to up and over to Crailsheim to check out them playing against Ludwigsburg in the under 16 JBBL, and I'm going to check out a couple of kids there that Ludwigsburg have. Ariel Hukporti is a 2002 born Togo. He's been included on the under 16 roster for this summer for Germany. And obviously it's a big summer for Germany because they want to try to qualify for the under 17 World Championship for next summer. And Ludwigsburg also have 2001 Lucas Herzog, also going to check out. Yeah, maybe we'll see what Kreilsheim have. They have the Kit Hoffman, who's scoring a lot, so we'll see what he has to do. We'll probably end up going there, though. Was considering to maybe try to find out where Marco Pekarski is going to be playing this weekend. Obviously, he's moved over to Bayern now. Moved to Munich on Monday. And so he's just settling in. Question is kind of where he's going to play Saturday. The Pro B team is playing at home against Leverkusen, and Sunday they're playing the NBBL, the under 19 team is playing in Brighton Gusbach. I really don't know. I really don't know where they're going to send him. The Brighton Gusbach, you know, the Bayern have a couple of game lead on Gusbach in the NBBL. Pro B, they're sort of right in the middle, upper third of the table. I don't think Gusbach is going to bring their big guns to the NBBL, and on Sunday they do have a Pro A game in Hamburg the day before on Saturday, so I can imagine that they're going to be playing those big guys, Kobolka, Olinda, etc. Maybe Edvardsen goes up there, maybe plays NBBL, don't know. So I really don't know. I would imagine they might just put him in NBBL, just start him with more or less his age group. He's 2000, and that's a 98 generation. So maybe they just send him up to Gusbach, give him a taste of the rivalry right away. So we'll see. I'm going to end up going over to Kreilsheim to check out the two Ludwigsburg kids. And then do a bunch of soccer. All right. So Adidas Next Generation Tournament. Obviously, Sargeras Kaunas won the tournament, and for the fourth year in a row. Is that right? Fourth year in a row. 14, 15, 16, 17. No, yeah, fourth year in a row. They've now won 16 games there in a row. Actually, 20 in a row. The one year they dates back to the 11-12 season. They've never lost in the Sargeras Arena. And, I guess it really wasn't all that close. I guess INSEP kind of, sorry, not INSEP, CFBB, come that in a minute. It was a close game, ended up losing by 5 points. So they're going to be back, CFBB, obviously a couple of kids missing, Olivier Assar, still injured. Sekou Doumbouya was with Poitiers over the weekend and in the Pro B, so he wasn't there, which, you know, is not a surprise at all. Figured I was actually surprised that he was considered that they were gonna maybe bring him in there. But he didn't show up. Still an interesting team, with Yves Pons. You also had, Joel Ai, and, we'll kind of get to some of the bigger names, with Mike Schmitz. We don't go as in depth as, some of the other, podcasts that we've done, like with Bronick last week. Obviously top guy in the tournament was, Isaac Bonga, and talk, you know, a little bit more about him than anybody else with Mike. And he was impressive, you know, especially when you consider that he, you know, there's five players on the team and really important guys on that team who aren't even with the club. They actually all came in from different clubs, five of the guys. So that's tough, especially if you're the playmaker and you do pass it quite a bit. He made the all-tournament team along with Garantas Vasiliauskas. You also had, I think I should know this, but who else was on the all-tournament team? All-tournament team, Eugen Masalski, Ivan Fevrier, and the other guy was the MVP, and that was Alexander Ashov from CSKA Moscow. CSKA Moscow was impressive. You know, they brought a couple of really good kids there, you know, that triangle, I guess, if you will, of Ershov, Komenko, and Umrkin was really nice. They also had, you know, two big guys, Kaldev and Pozrednikov. So, you know, that's a pretty nice trio/quintet of guys. I think that's probably the best team that they've had in a long time. So that's good to see that they're producing some talent. Riga was really young. I think they only had two. Yeah, they had two 99s. Everybody else was 2000. So they had a couple of real interesting kids. Heblovskis, and you also had Sirkrilis was an interesting kid. Schnipke, a couple of really interesting kids. And so obviously that's a little, you know, thinking a little more for next year. Fenerbahce, I thought Duran actually played pretty well. Ahmet Duran kind of played his way out of the all-tournament team. He was pretty much a lock going into the final day, and then he just, did some Duran things. Has a little bit of a problem with his attitude, it seems. And so that was a little bit of a problem. Letos Ritos, Venus Masalski obviously made the alternative team. He was interesting. Servidias was real intriguing. Can't wait to see more of him. He's a 2000er. And Lasiunas was also a pretty interesting kid there. So, and then the tough little Domantas Vilnius as the point guard. So interesting. Also, and then of course CBA. They had the Chinese trio, the 2002 point guard Hao Dai. You also had the big guy Li Zhezhu. And Wang Xiaoji, man, he can shoot it. He can light it up. But even I think Diego Willis is going to be a real good college guard. Brnovich, Danilo Brnovich flashed some really interesting stuff. 2000 for Montenegro. So, yeah, impressive stuff. Not loads and loads of guys from the 2001. So, I mean, looking forward to the under 16 European Championship this year. Maxi Begay was with Frankfurt. Theo Maledon is with CFBB. You also had 2001. I don't think they had anybody, did they? No, they didn't have anybody. And Shagir's had. Where's Shakir's kid? Modestas Canclares, who Mike actually addresses in there. So I'll let you listen to the show, listen to the interview with Mike, and then kind of come back to that. So here's my chat with Mike Schmitz with Draft Express. So catch you on the other side. All right, on the show this week, a new guest, someone we haven't had on the show before, Mike Schmitz, a scout for Draft Express and The Vertical. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, man.
Of course, we know listeners of the show know the guy who Mike's working with for, Jonathan Giovanni over at Draft Express. I guess maybe for those who, I mean, you know, a lot of people know Jonathan. You're starting to gain a pretty big following just because that's a great site and everything else. And, you know, you do great work as well for the site. Maybe just introduce yourself to the people out there who might not know much about you. Just, you know, give us a quick background on who you are.
Yeah, I've been working for Jonathan or with Jonathan for, God, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now. Started really doing a lot of video breakdowns and analysis there, you know, on different college prospects, international prospects. And now I'm kind of, you know, moving on to doing more than that as well with, you know, reports and traveling and coming to Europe and all that. So, yeah, just basically breaking down these kind of top prospects from a video standpoint, scouting report standpoint, getting to know the kids. So, yeah, just finishing up a 16, 17-day trip here and leaving back to the States to L.A. where I live. So leaving tomorrow, and but yeah, that's really my deal
here being Kaunas, and heading out back home. We saw each other, we hung out at the Adidas Next Generation second leg of the yeah. World Wind Tour. You were also in Hospitalet to watch the first leg of a tour. I guess probably since Kaunas is a lot fresher in your mind, I guess let's start with maybe just a general opinion. We're not going to break down. We've done it with Brunek before, where we, you know, look at every team, and there's a couple of things that I like to talk to you about. So let's just go first general opinion of what you thought about the Kaunas tournament.
Yeah, I was impressed. I thought the level was good. It was maybe a little bit higher than Hospitalet. And in terms of prospects, Isak Bonga to me was kind of the guy who stood out, as, you know, the best NBA prospect, just given his, you know, his very unique talent. So he was impressive. And then I think there are a lot of other guys, who will have a chance as well. And I think the level in terms of team basketball also, you know, with Žalgiris and a lot of other, you know, kind of highly regarded clubs, just the way they play together and kind of the team sense, I was impressed with. So Bonga was kind of the headliner for me, and then a lot of other guys as well.
Why don't you talk about Bonga? Because, you know, he's a guy that even though a lot of people, you know, not really a lot of people have seen, just because he wasn't at Albert Schweitzer. And also wasn't at the under-18s in December, injuries both times. So, and this actually, to be honest, was my first time that I really saw him at all live. So maybe just, you know, your thoughts of him. You know, he was playing on a team that finished last, but was also, you know, it was a team with five guys who were not with Frankfurt. Maybe just your thoughts in general about Isak Bonga.
Yeah, he's a very unique prospect to me. Really, he's a 6'9", you know, point guard. Played exclusively at the point guard position, and I think his, you know, footwork and mobility and kind of quickness at his size is very impressive. Along with his vision, he's kind of a pass first guy, really. Which is, you know, both a positive and a negative at times. But yeah, the physical profile is very interesting, around 6'9", with over a 7-foot wingspan, fluid kid, not all that explosive of an athlete, and kind of, I think, you know, struggles to score efficiently a little bit in the half court. And, you know, and we talked about it quite a bit of maybe not always being as aggressive as he could be as a scorer, but although he got a lot better at that as the tournament progressed. But to me, yeah, really just one of these versatile, do-it-all type of guys with really, really good basketball instincts and, you know, quite an impressive upside if he continues to, you know, develop as a shooter, which he's done, and improve his ability to kind of score inside the paint and in the half court.
I guess probably the next guy that people are going to be talking about also again, because he also didn't, he had a great summer with the under-17 World Championship and then was injured and didn't play at the under-18s for France, was Yves Pons. he had a great first game, a very subpar second game, great third game, very subpar final. I think that may have also had to do with a little bit that the injury was kind of still lingering. He mentioned to me that he feels good and he's real happy to be playing, but he still feels injured a little bit. You know, we saw so much of the dynamic athleticism, you know, freakish specimen and all this at Zaragoza. I don't know if you saw anything other than video from that, and I don't know if you've seen it before. But what did you think of the let's say good and bad parts of Eve?
Yeah, he's a very intriguing prospect from a physical sense. I saw him first in 2015 at the Jordan Brand, and you could tell right away. I mean, he's just a physical freak. I think he's somebody that, you know, NBA scouts were excited about in that sense, just because he kind of fits, you know, modern basketball right now. All these teams are, you know, searching the globe for these 6'6", 6'7", 3'4" type of guys who can guard everybody and potentially make a shot. So I think in terms of like his NBA fit as one of those type of guys, I think he showed, you know, the flashes, rotating from the weak side for blocks, keeping guys in front, catching lobs. I think he shot it just, you know, well enough to kind of give you some hope. Yeah. I think he, you know, I think he actually was, you know, like 4 or 5 from three or something like that. Didn't take a lot of attempts, but, so in that sense, very intriguing. But some of the things that you mentioned, he kind of has a tendency to disappear a little bit. He's not like a ball dominant guy. He's just not very skilled with the basketball. So he's not someone who's gonna like in crunch time really want the ball and make a play. Just because I think his feel for the game is a little bit limited. And, you know, I think as we were both able to see from speaking with him, he's not a very emotional guy. You know, he's a very quiet guy. And so he's almost robotic in some ways. So I think he has a tendency to just kind of get lost and drift, because one, he's not very naturally skilled and he's not a huge personality. So, I think we saw the good and the bad, but, at the NBA level, he's going to be a role guy regardless, in my opinion. So I don't think he's going to need to be this guy who comes in and, you know, plays out of pick and roll and breaks down a defender or anything like that. So I think he showed enough of, hey, I'm going to be a defensive force. I'm going to fly around, catch lobs, and make an occasional three to get people excited.
Let's kind of stick with maybe NBA potential. It seems to me that, you know, maybe MVP Alexander Eshoff, who, you know, in the third place game scored 37, you know, and still hasn't turned 17 yet. He's a 2000 born, just as a scorer, you know, depending on how his body fills out and if he grows and whatnot, seems like he could be possibly someone just because of his ability to score. You have Eugen Masalski, from the Belarusian kid from Ritos, who has some decent length and can do quite a few nice things. Yves Ponza's teammate, Joel Ayiye, is that how it is? Ayiye. That seems like the main group of because I mean there's always a certain length and athleticism that kind of almost has to go along with an NBA, you know, top, let's say a pretty decent level NBA prospect. Maybe what are your thoughts about those guys, and if there's anybody else who you think, you know, might be sort of, you know, still or who have maybe worked their way into that group?
Yeah, I think for me the next guy is Ayiye. In terms of NBA prospects, he, you know, it was kind of an interesting tournament for him because he came off the bench for a few games. He wasn't really playing for the first couple of games, which, you know, he's younger, so I get that aspect. But, you know, we've seen him before You know, at the U16s, I saw him this summer, and he was really kind of their guy in a lot of ways. But I think he's made quite a bit of progress since we first saw him at Eurocamp. Was the first time I saw him last June. He's shooting it a lot better. He was not a guy who shot it at a high level in the past, and we saw him, you know, making shots off the dribble, kind of creating with step backs, and you know, with his size and length at around 6'4". That's and really quick with the ball. That was a welcoming sign to see. So he's really intriguing to me, just because he has a nice feel for the game. He's a competitive kid. He's an elite rebounder for his position, and he's starting to shoot it better. So I think to me he's one of the better NBA prospects there. And then Ershov is probably another guy who I think is really interesting. He's come a long way. As a shooter, he was really more of a mid-range guy in the past. And, you know, when comparing him to even some of the college guards that I see, even like a Grayson Allen or someone like that, I think he's eventually going to kind of be in that conversation. Like you said, only 16 years old. He looks, you know, like he's fairly developed for his age, so I'm not sure how much he's going to grow. But, again, like really, really aggressive kid. And can really score. So I was impressed with his kind of killer mentality at that age. And yeah, some of the other guys, I think Masalski kid is interesting. Like you said, fluid, you know, rim runner, pick and roll finisher type of kid. Trying to think who else.
Zalgiris. Davidis, I forgot him. Servidas.
Yeah. He got sick, but so he only played one game, but you know, 6'8" wing who can, with a really smooth stroke. I know his dad was
lefty too.
Was a big time player. Yep, lefty, nice frame. So he's definitely an interesting kid, I think. And then even Zagres, the really young kid, he didn't get a lot of burn, but Modestas Conclaris,
2001. Yeah,
2001. That kid to me is very, very interesting. He's probably like, you know, 6'7" now, great frame, good athlete, like did not play scared at all. And that's what impressed me. You can tell he has a nice stroke and all that, but to come in at that age and even in limited minutes, like banging around, flying in on the offensive glass, I think, you know, he's going to be a guy that as we continue to move forward, we'll gain some steam. So yeah, those are really the guys that stood out in terms of NBA potential to me.
Do you think anybody either drastically hurt or helped their you know, NBA status in this tournament?
To me, I think Ershov helped himself, because when I had seen him in the past, like even as, you know, as soon as or as recent as this last summer at the U16B. Like, he was not a guy stretching it to three at all. Looking at his numbers, even out there, he was 3 of 20 from three. So, I mean, that never really been something he's done. And then he was 8 of 14 out here and kind of showed he was a little bit more dynamic there. So, that, you know, if you're a 6'4 guard, you have to be able to shoot threes in today's NBA. So I think he helped himself for sure. I think, you know, the big kid, Ahmet Duran, which I know we talked a lot about, was maybe never always on like an NBA radar, but just given his skill level, he, you know, you'd think maybe he has a chance, and I think he showed some good things, but I think he at times hurt himself a little bit just with his mentality, and that's still an area where he has to improve. Just maturity and body language and all that. So maybe he's a guy who hurt himself a little bit.
I want to ask you about some other things, but we talked a lot with Bronek last week about Jose Pitalet. But maybe just give us a couple of your top guys from there, maybe a guy or two who maybe helped themselves a lot from Hospitalet. I mean, I don't want to go too in depth because, like I said, we talked about it a lot last week.
Sure.
But just to have another person's opinion about the Hospitalet tournament.
I think the Balcerowski kid, I know I'm butchering that badly, I'm sure, but the big Polish Gran Canaria kid helped himself. First time playing in, I want to say what, like 6 8 months maybe. Had the stress fracture in his foot, but yeah, 7 foot kid who can shoot it with a nice frame, a little bit slow, but he's a guy who impressed me. I think Luka Samanich is always someone who's going to be interesting. He had kind of an up and down tournament. I think he's still working through, the pressures of being in the Barcelona system and at that age, and maybe some, just the mentality to succeed there. But he's a guy who's always impressed me just because he has size, he can shoot, he's very fluid. And then I think some of the Sevilla kids to me were, were quite interesting guys I'd never seen. Darko Bayo is kind of a feast or famine type of guy. You don't always get the best of him, but like when he was on, he's 6'9", he's got a great frame, he's athletic, he was making shots. So like when he plays how he can, then I think he has a chance, but he had some tough moments. And then I guess the last kid who I liked was Jakub Kukić, the big kid for Sevilla. 6'10", nice frame. I saw him at the 16s, and he was really just like a motor guy. And he was stepping out, shooting jumpers, finding guys out of control. Like he really impressed me. And then all the kids I thought were they had quite a few guys who were impressive as well. So yeah, maybe not like an elite Bonga type of prospect there, but a lot of guys to kind of monitor moving forward, I thought.
If I'm not mistaken, actually, I have to look it up now, but I think the last guy that you named, that was the center, right? That's not with not actually with them, right?
He's plays as he's with Split.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's gonna end up there or what.
I'm pretty sure he will be. But if I'm not mistaken, looking at it right now, maybe that's not him. I remember there was a guy.
Oh, Nokic. You're thinking of Nokic,
No,
probably. Tony.
There was a guy. Maybe. No, it was Shetka, the number 11, Shetka. He's from the same place where Bender is from. He's actually Herzegovinian. Is that how you say it? Herzegovinian.
I believe.
Okay, cool. I wanted to ask a couple different things. There's the debate going on in Europe a lot about, kids going from, leaving Europe to go to the States. Obviously, one of the guys right now, big name that, that was a topic of conversation in Kaunas was Yves Pons. There's advantages and disadvantages to both. As somebody who covers a lot of college basketball, watches a lot of college basketball, watches a lot of video, and sees the youth development in Europe as well. Why don't you give us your opinion on the whole thing? I mean, obviously, there's an educational aspect that also has to be, put into the whole picture. But maybe let's say from a basketball standpoint, what are your thoughts about the choice between college and staying in Europe for some of these Europeans?
Yeah, I think it's situational, for each guy. It's dependent on, I mean, it's tough if you don't speak English and your starting point is maybe a little lower in that regard. But in my opinion, I think it's great. I mean, if you're a kid who wants to get an education, wants to have a chance to kind of develop and play against, guys who are really ending up in the NBA and are kind of that type of length and athleticism, then I think, why not? Why not go get an education? Why not go play in a cool environment, learn more English, live in a different place? And then to me, it's like if you're not, maybe your goal is the NBA, sure, and you want to go that route. It's going to help you with exposure and things of that nature. But even if you're not that level of prospect, like you can always come back and play for your club. I even know, heard of a lot of different clubs kind of having contract situations like that. Like, okay, yeah, we're fine with you going, go do your thing, go play college, but we want you back for the first, say, 2 years after you're done. And so kind of like a stipulation like that. And I know it's maybe a little, you know, tough for some of these clubs to let these guys go. But if that's what they want to do, I think it's very beneficial.
Another topic that, obviously when you're out on the road, you know, you see a lot of guys, and a lot of guys that you've seen on video already. From a scouting standpoint, you know, there's a lot of people out there who want to become scouts, who want to get into the business. Maybe talk about the comparison of scouting a guy on video and then scouting him live. You know, what are some of the major differences in the two of them?
Yeah, I think the things I like to see are, you know, the body language stuff for sure, and the physical profile. But, you know, the body language, you can go early to see this kid shoot. Like, the benefit of being able to watch a kid shoot live and see how the ball comes out of his hand, and even, you know, if you go watch him warm up or watch him early, like, you get to see the guy shoot maybe 50 to 100 shots in person, which is a big benefit to me. So that aspect of it, you know, what kind of teammate are they, things like that, which I think I learned a lot about different prospects on this trip in that regard. So really the mental approach, the physical profile, how the body or how the ball comes out of the hand. And then lastly, the level of athleticism to me, because, you know, you can watch, like, okay, I'll use Frank Ntilikina as an example here. So you watch him at the under 18s, you know, with kind of his age group, and he looks athletic. He looks, you know, like, he looks at explosive, fairly explosive. And then I saw him, in Belgrade play, Mega Lex, and he really struggled to get by people. So I think that's something that you can see more in person. Level of play is a factor, but I think that's something you can see more in person, than maybe you can on film.
You brought him up. What do you think? I mean, it's not the first time you've seen him live, but in general, what do you think about Ntilikina? I mean, you guys at Draft Express have him right now at 11. I know that's, you know, going to change, you know, when the actual draft order, you know, is announced, and, you know, he's still got the rest of the season and workouts and everything else. But what do you think of him? I mean, you mentioned that he, you know, had a little bit of trouble getting by guys, but your thoughts on the MVP of the under 18s.
Yeah, I there are things to like and things not to like. You know, what I love about the kid is his approach. He was the first one on the floor. He has, like, a very, very, I mean, for his age, his serious minded mentality was really, really impressive to me. And kind of not an arrogant kid, you know, knows his pecking order, where he stands kind of on the totem pole, being the youngest guy on that club, you know, rebounding for other guys, defending some of their stars in pregame and stuff like that. I really like his mentality, and physically, I think he's going to be a total stud. You know, he's going to fill out. He's got a really nice frame, and I think his shot is much improved as well. He was very nervous. You know, there were a lot of scouts in the building. I know, you know, Brian Colangelo was there even, so you could tell he was very, very nervous. I think he struggled to play on the ball. And, you know, with his kind of struggles to really have kind of change of speed and change of direction at his size, I think he's going to end up playing a fair amount of shooting guard, which is okay because he's, you know, 6'6" basically with a 7-foot wingspan, and he can make a shot. So, he had some ups and downs, but again, I really like the mentality. And I think he's improved quite a bit as a shooter.
I believe you saw Kostya Mashidi as well on this trip.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Obviously the German who's over at Mega Lex. You know, he's another guy that's, you know, expected to be drafted this year. You know, another guy that was under 18s and was, you know, one of the stars at that tournament. What'd you think of him?
Yeah, I think he's improved a little bit in his mentality and his kind of his approach to the game. You know, I think he's still getting there in terms of the rest of his game outside of just kind of spot shooting. You know, he kind of has a tendency to fall in love with his jumper. And so to me, I think he's a guy who gets drafted in the second round, maybe the latter half. I think he would get drafted because he's an easy stash guy that, you know, Mega does a nice job with their guys and you can kind of leave him over there and watch him develop. But it wouldn't surprise me if, given the strength of this draft and the strength of the guard prospects, it wouldn't surprise me if he were a guy who maybe waited a year.
And I believe you've seen Hartenstein at least practice, but I don't think you've seen him play, right, here out here?
No, I just went to the practice yesterday, and then they play a game tonight, but it doesn't sound like he's going to get a lot of minutes, so I think I'll go watch their second team practice instead of going to that game.
And what do you think of him? Hartenstein, obviously, you know, great length and, you know, can do loads of different things.
Yeah, very, very talented kid. I mean, I was impressed with the body. You know, he's strong. He's athletic. He's every bit of 6'11", if not 7 feet tall. And so I was impressed with the physical side of things. And the fact that he can do a little bit of everything. I don't think he's quite great in one area yet, but he can shoot a little bit. He can handle a little bit. Like I said, he's a good athlete. So I think there's a lot of different ways he could kind of be molded. He really fits kind of what the NBA is trending toward now with these bigs who can step out. I think he has some areas to improve. But the talent was impressive.
I just want to ask two more guys, and they're actually, you know, you're out on the West Coast, so, you have a chance to maybe see them a little bit more often. Right now, Draft Express has Markel Fultz number one. Maybe how much you've seen him live, and, for people who may not have seen him because they might not watch Washington a lot, you know, what kind of guy is he, and what kind of, you have him right now, you guys in Draft Express have him number one in the mock draft for 17. What kind of guy do you think he'll be in the NBA?
Yeah, I think he's a total stud. First overall pick for sure for me. I think he's a multi-time all-star in the NBA. He has the potential to be like a franchise guy, really. What I really like about him is his progression. Like when I first, this is a guy who didn't even play varsity basketball until his junior year, I believe. He was like, I remember going to a tournament in my hometown when he was a junior, I believe. And I went to go see a different kid. And he was just like the 6'1 guard who you could tell had like the smooth game. And okay, like maybe this kid is interesting. And then now he's like 6'5". Total alpha, mentality. He gets better and better every single year. And he can score at all three levels. He can pass. He's a good athlete. He's got size. And he really, really works at it. So I like those late bloomer type guys because there isn't a lot of entitlement there. He's a total stud in my opinion. I've seen him quite a bit. From early on to, at the high school level to at USA basketball stuff. I'm very comfortable with him, and I think he's a stud.
The other guy is right in your backyard there in LA with UCLA with Lonzo Ball. I've seen two UCLA games on ESPN, and man, he's fun to watch. You have him at number two. Just maybe for those who might not have seen him, give him your rundown.
Yeah, he's exceeded my expectations for sure. Like I saw him a lot in high school and he played, he's kind of tough to evaluate because he has a very unique game and he played really in a system tailor made for him. And it was the team was number one in the country in high school his last year. He didn't play Team USA basketball. He didn't really play much AAU. He kind of just stayed in, his area. But they played this crazy, like, everything's an outlet pass, like baseball passes ahead after every miss, super high pace. So all the stats were inflated. And I really was wondering, like, okay, how is this kid going to play in a more structured system? How is he going to handle – he has this funky slingshot release from the left side of his face that he'll pull up from 28 feet. Like, how is he going to handle being actually coached? So I was kind of a wait-and-see process for me, and I quickly realized that, you know, he brought all that with him. I mean, he brought that style to UCLA. He's really changed the program, and – like all these guys look like studs now. You know, TJ Leaf, I liked TJ Leaf out of high school a little bit, but I mean, because of Lonzo Ball in a lot of ways, that kid's getting first round buzz. So to me, he's just somebody who makes everybody around him better. And he's a guy who everyone in the NBA is going to want to play with because he's unselfish and he can really pass. So yeah, man, he's a unique prospect who has kind of a cult following. And it will, you know, so a lot of guys, NBA scouts think he's the best prospect in the draft.
And he has two younger brothers. Have you seen them play at all?
Yeah. Yeah. The youngest one, there's the youngest one who's kind of, you know, he's interesting. He's like 6'5" now. He was much smaller before, and he's got a chance to be pretty good. He's similar to Lonzo in some ways in his body type, and he's a better shooter, I think, at the same stage, but he can pass as well. Not quite as impressive. And then there's a 2017 kid who will be at UCLA next year, LiAngelo, who to me is more of a good, decent college player. You know, he's kind of a thick 3-4 type of kid, who's just really more of a shooter. But the younger one, LaMelo, is he's one to keep an eye on, I think.
You know, you've been doing this now with Jonathan for, I think you said, 4 years. How do you and you know, there's other people that are popping up, you know, more and more. How has scouting changed over that time frame?
Yeah, to me, I think the video aspect is what's really changed. Like when I started doing this, I was, you know, really one of the only guys doing like draft videos, you know, like breaking down the player's strengths and weaknesses. And it's, I just kind of taught myself, you know, how to do video, and then saw that, okay, there's a market for this. And since then, it seems over the last few years, I mean, everyone has access to video. The kids who can do video, you know, I mean, the stuff they can do, like graphically, is, you know, much more impressive than stuff that I've ever been able to do. So I think in that sense, the use of video and the use of kind of these breakdowns has really grown a lot. And everything is just much more accessible nowadays with different services and things like that. So yeah, it's really grown. And some of these guys who have been popping up who do really good stuff, you know, we've tried to bring in even with us and say, hey, like, you know, let's work together on this. So yeah, man, it's grown. But to me, the video aspect is really what's continued to evolve more than it was when I started.
Who are some of the guys that you follow and you like watch and see, you know, these guys provide, you know, good information, good video breakdown, anything, you know, who are some of the guys you look at?
Yeah. I mean, the guy who we ended up really bringing in, his name is Bogdan. His Twitter handle is B Hoops. And he started, you know, he was a coach in Denmark. He's a Serbian guy, and he really kind of upped the game, I think, in a lot of ways with just his template and outline of these videos. And he's been doing a lot of international stuff. He has his own, you know, website and everything. But we reached out to him and said, hey, you know, you do great stuff. Would you mind, you know, what do you think about kind of collaborating on some things? And he's been great for us. So he's a guy that even before he started working for us, I followed on an international sense. But honestly for me, like, there's so much good stuff going on out there, and I want to see it all and know what everyone's doing. But at the same time, you sometimes, like, unknowingly, if you read everything, it alters your opinion a little bit on some of these guys.
Yeah.
So I almost try to, like, block it all out during the year, like, be understand what guys are doing so that you keep up with competition, but also not, like, reading every single person's big board. And because whether you know it or not, that stuff creeps into your brain, and you kind of want to have an unbiased opinion if you can.
kind of last question then. You mentioned competition. You know, how are you guys? How is it that you guys are, you know, staying ahead and what are you doing to try to, you know, keep ahead of everybody else?
Yeah. I think it really starts with Jonathan. He's, you know, been the best in the business for a long, long time. As you know, you've seen him work at these events. I mean, one of the best networkers to me and relationship people that I've ever seen or been around. So I think having him kind of leading the way and continuing to, you know every single person involved in every country, that the relationship aspect of it in that regard is huge. And then from a scouting standpoint, I think, you know, going to this stuff, going to live events and seeing these guys really at an early age has really helped us, because to me, a lot of our competition, you know, they start scouting these kids once they get to college or once they're a year out from the draft. And for us, you know, we try to be at, you know, the Team USA under 16 training camp or the USA development camp, which has kids when they're, you know, 15, 16 years old. And then going to the U16 European Championships and kind of getting a feel for their starting point, getting to know the kid, what their background is. So to me, like, you don't scout in 1 year, you know, it's an accumulative process. And so I think, you know, with the relationships that we've been able to build along with scouting early and getting to know these guys at a young age, I think that's our biggest advantage.
You did a lot of videos from Kaunas and from Hospitalet. I don't know, you said you're heading home tomorrow being Tuesday, the day before this comes out. Do you have a timeline already when people are going to be able to maybe see some of the videos you did from the Adidas Next Generation tournament?
Yeah, I would think by the end of this week. You know, I'm going to write, I have a ton of notes and I've been, you know, working on a lot of reports for the site that will be public in the next, I'd say within the next week. We'll have stuff from Hospitalet, we'll have stuff from Kaunas, we'll even have a little bit of stuff from the Baltic Cup. And all those reports will have kind of the interview with the guy. So, yeah, well, it should be coming, like I said, by the end of this week, hopefully.
This is my first time this is the first time I really met you really had a good time hanging out and talking hoops, talking prospects. I have to say, reach out and say thank you. It was you made it a lot of fun and you helped me also a little bit. I'm not a scout, you know, I'm a journalist. I see a lot of guys and people might think I do scouting stuff, but I really don't. And so, you know, whenever I talk to scouts, every time I talk to scouts, I learn a little bit more about scouting. And so thank you to that. And also just thanks for making, you know, whatever, 10, 12 hours in the gym a good time, because you definitely did it.
No, thank you, man. I had a blast. I will miss your nuggets of info that were coming left and right. So yeah, man, I had a great time.
All right. Listen, tell the people who might not know, who might not follow you, where they can find your stuff on Twitter, any other social media websites. You know, let people know.
At @Mike_Schmitz is my Twitter. That's really the main thing I have going. And then just draftexpress.com. Like I said, we'll have a ton of stuff from Kaunas and Hospitalet coming. Then we'll be back. I'll be back in the States focusing a little more on the college guys and ready to take on this draft. So it should be a very, very loaded year.
All right. Mike Schmitz, thanks for coming on and safe travels back home and enjoy the sun and warm weather back in LA. I know it's been pretty, pretty cold in your tour here in Northern Europe.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. Thank you.
All right. One thing I actually didn't talk about is the wild cards, obviously. So now we have Barcelona and Shakiris. Barcelona, obviously reigning champion there, we're going to be in regardless. So I guess you can kind of argue that there's a wild card available. And so because obviously the tournament winner would go anyhow, and then the reigning champion from the season before would go. So we're through half the tournaments. Two of the four automatic spots. I don't know. I have really no idea what who the home team is for the Final Four, and so who will be the local team? If it's going to be Fenerbahce, if it's going to be Dashafaka, who's it going to be? I really have no idea. So that's kind of another dynamic. Interested in seeing what Dashafaka has in coin in a couple of weeks' time. I guess that's 3 weeks, something like that. 3.5 weeks, 4 weeks. Joventut, I don't know that Joventut would get a wild card. Maybe. I don't know. Obviously, they lost the final in Hospitalet to Barcelona, the champions. So they lost in the final to the winners, and then also the winner was the champion, the reigning champion. So they have an argument to get in. And I, you know what? It seems to me that that either CFPB and or CSKA Moscow could both grab a wild card. You know, Moscow hasn't been there since 2007. Like we said, they have a good team, probably the best team they've had in a long time. You have the MVP of Kaunas, who would also be coming in. So, you know, a big, obviously huge name, good chance of having the adult team and the youth team at the tournament, which, you know, really doesn't happen all the time. You had Real Madrid actually do the double a couple years ago. And CFBB, you know, they were there 2 years ago on a wild card, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, 2 years ago on a wild card. You know, other than winning in 2010, they haven't really done all that much in the finals. But they also have some really, really big names. You know, if a Dumbuya comes, which should be the case. I mean, it's in May, and I would imagine that the Pro B, Poitiers, which should be figured out whether or not they're going to go up or down, whether they're going to stay or go down. So in my eyes right now, I think both CFPB and CSKA Moscow have pretty decent arguments. You know, CFPB obviously lost to Shagiris in the final, and so yeah, maybe we'll see. So that's that. I'm going to call it a show, just because I have plenty of other stuff I need to get done. So last thing I need to do is let you know what you're going to be listening to. The song is called Father Says Why, and it is by Girls on Grass, and it's available on freemusicarchive.org. Go check them out. Obviously, great stuff on there. And, yeah, so until then, enjoy the hoops. And if you are watching African basketball, enjoy that. We will definitely talk to you next week. Till then.
Father says, why will you make How you doing? This is Andre Blatch from the Philippine national team. You're listening to Taking the Charge.